Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Kedoshim, and the title of the shir tonight is Superstition versus Signs. So tonight, I want to look at the aspect of the parsha that deals with the prohibition of superstition, relying on superstition, and I'll show you through the Mefarshim that there's an interesting differentiation made in the Gemara between superstition and what's called simanim, signs. So we'll see that inside and try to define exactly what the issue with superstition is and why signs are different. So if you look in source number one, the pasuk that we're going to focus on is in Vayikra Perek Yates Pasuk Chaf Vav, and the pasuk says, Lo sochlu al hadam, lo senachashu, velo seonenu. So the Torah teaches us, do not eat anything with its blood inside of it, with its blood still there. And also, do not be engaged in soothsaying, divination. So the Torah teaches us three different isurim here. The first one is, the pshat is that you're not supposed to eat an animal whose blood is still there with it. The second pshat, or the second idea, is lo senachashu, you shouldn't be involved in divination, which we'll explain. And the third is lo seonenu, you shouldn't be involved in soothsaying. So the question, the first question in the shir, which is the pshat question, is what exactly are these things? What is the Torah referring to when it uses these, when it says lo sochlu adam, lo senachashu, lo seonenu? What are these things? So Rashi gives us the pshat as to what these isurim are referring to. So the first, in source number two, the Rashi on this pasuk, the first one says lo sochlu al adam, laharbe panim nidrash b'sanhedrin. So there are many ways this is explained in Sanhedrin. Azhara shelo yochal mibesar kachim lefnei zrikas damim. So one isur, one prohibition learned out, is that you're not allowed to eat from a korban before the zrika, before the blood of the korban is spread or spilled on the mizbeach. V'azhara lo'ochel mibehemas chulin term shetetze nafsha. And also there's an isur to eat from a behemas chulin, from an animal that's chul, that's not kachim, that's not korban, before its life has left it. The Od Harbe, and there's many different explanations for this Isser. So Rashi says, mentions that Lusokhal Adam refers to many different Isurim that reference Dam, either eating Kachim before Zrikas Dam, or eating an animal that still has Dam in it, and the Dam hasn't been taken out, or eating an animal that's still alive. And if you look at the next Rashi, it says Losin Nachashu. So what is Losin Nachashu? What is Nichush? Kigon Elu HaMenachashin Becholda Uva'ofos Pitu Nafla Mipiv Tzvi Hifsiku Bederach. So lo senachashu is that you're not allowed to be superstitious. And there are those who, when they hear the cry of a weasel, or they hear the chirping of a bird, or if, let's say, bread falls out of your mouth, or if there's a deer on the path, they make certain conclusions. It's almost like the black cat. It's the same thing as seeing a black cat. So they'll say, when these things happen, either it's good or bad for me. And lo seonenu is lashon onos hashos. Also, you shouldn't rely on a lucky time, a good time. Sheomer yom ploni yafel lahaschil malacha, sha plonis kasha latzis. So lo seonenu is where a person says, oh, today's my birthday, it's a lucky day for me. Or, you know, this day has always been a lucky day for me. Or this hour has always been a lucky hour for me. I'll do this and such, or this is a bad day for me. So Rashi explains the pasuk, and he breaks it down into three parts. The pasuk, the first part is losochal adam, which means that you're not allowed to eat blood when it's in the animal, or it means other things. You can't eat kachim before zrikas adam. Losenachashu is that you're not allowed to be superstitious. And he gives examples, like let's say you're walking on the path and you see that a deer is on the way in the path that you're headed on. You can't say, oh, it's a bad sign, I'm going to turn around. That's losenachashu. That would be one example. And lo seonenu comes from the word ono, which means time period. And you're not allowed to say, oh, this is a lucky day. You know, April 1st is a lucky day for me. So you're not allowed to do these things. They're against the Torah to be superstitious, either based on a sign that you see, like a deer or a bird chirping. And you're not allowed to rely on this concept of lucky day. Today's my lucky day. So the Rashi explains that, Hello? Yeah. So we'll get that's what we're going to get into in the Gemara. Good question. So is it just to say it? Is it to? So we'll explain it when you get to the Gemara. Good question. But as of right now, just Rashi is just giving us a basic framework that Tanachashu is like the, I like to think of it as the black cat because that's a common one nowadays, but it's the same idea. If I see a black cat, it's a bad sign. And Lo Soninu is my lucky day. My birthday is my lucky day. You know, the stars are aligned for me on that day. So these are the Isurim that the Torah is referencing. Now, your question was, how do you violate these Isurim? So we'll see that inside. So the Rashbam, look in source number 3. The Rashbam says, Lo Sochlo Adam, Lafish Pshuto Davar Lomei Me. So the Pshat is, as I said before, that the Isur is to eat an animal where the blood is still inside the animal and it hasn't been salted. So that's the Isur. Lo Sinachashu V'lo Soneinu, Av Ze Yasu, So the Rashbam says, if not for the Jews being told that this is usher, the Jews would do this. And what they would do is, they would do all these sorcery, these this witchcraft. They would stand by a grave and eat there so that the soul wouldn't enact vengeance against the Jews. So the Rashbam says that the Jews would do these things. They would copy the Goyim. And he gives a case where they would sit by graves and they would eat in order that the spirit of the dead person doesn't affect them. And he includes that in Lo Sinachashu, which we'll try to explain later on in the shir. But he says that if not for this Azhara in the Torah, the Jews would really do this. They would just copy the Goyim, and we'll explain why and what he means by that. So we have to explain a lot, but the basic idea here is superstition. So the Gemara says that, the Torah says that it's also to do superstition. Rashi defines superstition as, you know, different examples of signs that occur to a person and they make correlations, and also relying on a lucky day, a good day or a bad day. And the Rashbam says that superstition is also like a custom of the Goyim. For example, he gives an example of eating by a person's grave who just died in order that, you know, you appease the dead spirit so it doesn't take vengeance against you. So how are all these things connected? Is there a connection also between Lo Socha Adam and Lo Sinachashu Lo Soneinu? So those are all the questions that we're going to answer towards the end of the shir. And we'll come back to this. We'll come back to this towards the end of the shir. The main thing I want to focus on before we answer all those questions is these two Torah Tmimas. And the reason why I'm bringing the Torah Tmima in and not the Gemaras, and I will bring in the Gemaras, is just I want to show you how I came to this question. So the question's obvious. If you look in the Torah Tmima in source number 4, it says, Lo Sinachashu, Tana Rabbanan, so the rabbis taught, Menachesh, what is Menachesh? Zeh Omer, Pito Nafla Mepiv, a person who says that the bread has fallen from my mouth. Let's say you're eating and a piece of bread, I guess, pops out of your mouth. Maklo Nafla Miyado, or my staff that I'm walking with falls out of my hand. Beno Korilo Ma'acharav, or if a person's traveling, and they say, oh, my son called me from behind, and I'm not going to go on my trip because that's a bad sign. Orev korilo, or if a raven calls out to me, if you hear a raven squawking, and you say it's a bad sign. Svi hifsiko baderech, or if you're traveling, and you see a deer in front of you, which happens to me all the time. So you say, oh, I'm going to go back, turn back. So all those things are nichosh, nachash miyamino v'shua mismolo, or if you're walking and you see a snake on your right and a fox on your left, those are all examples of nichosh. And then he goes on, al taskil bi. Another example is, do not collect from me. If somebody asks for a tzedakah from you, you say, I can't give you. Why? Shacharisu, it's the morning. And if I lose money in the morning, it's a bad sign for the day. Rosh Chodeshu, if I give you tzedakah on Rosh Chodesh, it's a bad sign for the month. Umotzi Shabbos, or it's Motzi Shabbos, who, and it's a bad sign for the week if I give money to you. So these are all examples of Nichosh. So the Gemara highlights that this is the Isser, Midoraisa of Nichosh, where if a person relies on these things, he says, today the bread fell out of my mouth while I was eating it. It must be a bad sign. It must be a bad day. I'm not going to go on my trip today. Or if a person who's asking for tzedakah comes to you on Motzi Shabbos and they say, can I have money? And you say, oh, I can't give you money today because if I do, it's a bad sign for the rest of the week because it's the beginning of the week, Motzi Shabbos, and I don't want to lose money to start my week. So all these things are nichosh. So the Gemara says, and this is all from Sanhedrin. So Gemara and Sanhedrin, Samech Yamed Beis, says that this is the Isser Nichosh. And again, we'll explain, you know, how you violate it in more specific detail, but this is the Isser Nichosh. So here's the question. So if you look in source number five, there's another Torah Tmima right after in our Chumashim, and it says Lo Sinachashu, and it quotes Yerushalmi Tana Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov taught Lo Sinachashu v'Lo Se'onenu. Afa pi she'ein nichush yesh simon. So even though you're not allowed to do this nichush, this superstition, there are such things as signs. Ubilvad la'achar shlosha simonim. As long as there are already three signs, then that's a you can rely on that, or you can make reference to that. Kigon. So he gives an example. Va'ani bevoimi padon mesalai Rachel. So Yaakov says that Rachel died. Yosef enenu v'shimon enenu. Yosef is not with me, and Shimon is not with me. And this is the reason why Yaakov doesn't want to let Binyamin go. So there were three. This is how the Yerushalmi learns it. The Bavli is a little bit different. But the Yerushalmi says that there were three events that Yaakov occurred to Yaakov. His wife died. Then he lost Yosef. And then Shimon, after the first time they traveled to meet Yosef, Yosef imprisoned Shimon. So all these are bad signs. And Yaakov said, I don't want to send Binyamin because these are bad signs. And once you have the trifecta of bad signs, so at that point, it's okay. It's not nichush. So the question is, what's the difference between nichush and simanim? Meaning by nichush, a person says that something, you know, some deer stopped me on the path, or there's a snake over there, or a black cat, and you make a decision based on that. Versus a simon, which sounds like it's the same thing, it just three times. So if bad things happen to you three times, then you could say, oh, I'm not going to do this. There's something bad here. So what's the difference between nichush and simon? Why is nichush, you know, usser, and the simon, according to the Yerushalmi, is mutter? So what's the difference between the two? And that's what I want to kind of define in the shir, as to why the Torah says that nichush lo sinachashu is an iser deraisa and lo se'onenu, whereas simonim in the Yerushalmi, where something bad happens to you three times, somehow that's not superstitious. Somehow that's okay. That's mutter. And look in the Torah Tmima. So they're really right back to back, this Torah Tmima and the other Torah Tmima, and the Chumash with the Torah Tmima attached to it. So when you see this, it's just like an obvious question. What's the difference between Nichush and Simanim? In fact, the Gemara even says in the Yerushalmi, Afal Pisha Ein Nichush Yesh Simanim. So obviously, there's some correlation, or there's some connection between Nichush and Simon, but the Gemara is differentiating. So what is the differentiation? Is it just the number of times it happens to you? Like if I see a black cat three times, then I'm allowed to say, oh, it's a bad day? Or is there a fundamental difference between a simon and nichush in superstition? So if you look in source number six, the Torah Tzmima, he quotes a Gemara that we're going to see also. So in number six on simonim, the Bavli also brings down this idea. It says, in the Bavli chulun tzadi hei amabez, mefarisha inyan bevayis tinok v'isha. If a guy buys a house and he has a baby and he gets married, Rotzon Lomar, not in those order, not in that order, Rotzon Lomar, she'im bayis, bana bayis, o nola la ben, o nasa isha. So either a person builds a house, or he has a child, or he gets married, v'achar masim elu asa esek v'itzliach. And then after these two events, so he builds a house, he has a kid, or he builds a house, he gets married, and then he does a business transaction where he makes a lot of money, good investment. Afal pisha aser lismoch ala nichush. Even though you're not allowed to rely on superstition, this is just a sign that if he was successful once, he'll be successful again. So he can somehow rely on this or use this as a sign. So again, the question is, what's the difference between superstition and a sign? Superstition is where a person sees some animal, that's one example, or today's my lucky day, we say that's an iser deraisa, whereas by signs, we say no, we say that's mutter, that if a bad thing happens to you three times in a row, or bad things happen to you, then you're allowed to rely on it. So what is the difference? By the way, if you can, please put your mute buttons on, because they're static in the background. Just press the mute button on your phone, and if you want to ask a question, just take the mute button off. Thank you. All right, so if you look in the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Hamabiz, look in source number 7. There's an interesting Gemara that I don't think many know of. And as you'll see, we'll go through this Gemara. It's a very fun story, and it has three parts to it. And we'll try to explain the difference between Nichush and Simanim through the eyes of this Gemara, the lens of this Gemara. So the Gemara is Chulin Daf Tzadi Hamabiz, as the Torah Tmimah quoted, and it says Rav Havaka Azil Lebei Rav Chanan Chasne. So there's a story. Rav went down to greet his son-in-law, Rav Chanan. So he went to his house. Chazi Mibara Deka Asi Laape. So Rav, he went to the riverbank and he saw that the ferry came to him right away. It was very quick. So he was right on time for the ferry. Omar, so Rav said, Mibara ka asi la'api, since the ferry came toward me right away, Yoma Tava Legav. Today it's a good sign that today is going to be a good day. So Rav is going to visit his son-in-law. And he goes to take a ferry, and the ferry is right on time, right when he goes to the river, the ferry's there. And Rav says out loud, he says, today's a good day. This is a good sign that the ferry was on time. Right when I got there, the ferry was there. So Azal Kam Abava, he went to the gate of his son-in-law's house. Odik Beviza Didasha Chazi Chiyusa Detalia. So he was looking through the crack of the door, and he saw an animal that was hung up that they were going to eat, or it was being prepared. Taraf Abava, he knocked on the door. Nafuk Asu Kule Amo Laape. Everyone went out to greet Rav. His son-in-law, everyone went out. Asa Tafi Nami, even the butchers that worked for his son-in-law came out to greet Rav. So Lo Olim Rav Eine Mine. So Rav watched this meat. He was staring at this piece of meat through the crack in the door the whole time. So Amar Lahu, he said to him, Iko Iku Echu Hashta, Sefisu luhu isura livne bras. If not for the fact that I was watching this meat the whole time, you would have been given isser to my son-in-law and my son-in-law's family. So this is a different topic. The topic of this Gemara is basar shenis ale min ayin, that you're not supposed to leave meat without guarding it or having a siman on it. So Rav is saying, since everyone left the house and nobody was watching the meat, you're lucky that I was watching the meat, because if I wasn't watching this meat, then you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. So lo acha Rav mahu bisra. But nevertheless, Rav refused to eat from this meat that he was watching. So the Gemara says, my taima, why wouldn't Rav eat from this meat? Imishum iyalume halo iyalim. If it's because it wasn't watched, it wasn't guarded, but Rav guarded it, he watched it the whole time. Ela de nachish. So rather, it was because Rav engaged in nichush, because he said at the beginning of the day when the ferry came to him, today's a good day, he refused to eat the meat. V'ha'amar Rav, so didn't Rav say, kol nachash eino keliezer evet Avraham uchiyonasan ben shol eino nachash? So any type of nichush, any type of superstition that doesn't mimic the superstition of Eliezer, the servant of Avraham, or Yonasan, the son of Shaul, is not considered Nichush. So then the question is, so it wasn't Nichush. This is one of the questions before. So Rav, even though he said, today's a good day because the ferry's on time, that wasn't Nichush. The Gemara has a Havamina. The Gemara thought that it might be Nichush, and that's why he wouldn't eat from the meat. So the Gemara says it's not Nichush because it's lacking. It's not like the Nichush of Eliezer or Yonasan. So why wouldn't he eat the meat? So the Gemara answer is, Elasudas Rishus Havai. V'rav lo mishani misudas harishos. So the answer is that it was a suda of rishos. It wasn't a suda of mitzvah, but rather it was a sudas rishos. It was a suda that was unnecessary, and Rav was careful not to engage in a public type of suda that wasn't for mitzvah. And that's a general theme in the Rambam. The Rambam brings down that tzaddikim, tamidei chachamim, they don't eat with other people, they tend to eat alone, and they only eat sudas mitzvah with other people. Okay, so this is the first story in the Gemara. So what I want to focus on, what's important, is the idea of the Nichush first, and then we'll get to the... So let's look in Rashi, source number 8, just to explain the Gemara. Yeah?
Yes, one question. So what would be the fact that if you did Nichush, why wouldn't you eat the meal? Just like to punish yourself?
Yeah, so we'll see that. Good question. Excellent. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, the Nichush. So Amibara de'asa la'ape de'amar yoma tava legav. So where was the Nichush in the story? The Nichush, the superstition was that Rav, when the ferry came to him, he said, oh, today's going to be a good day. So that's a superstition. So then it says, Kol Nichush she'inu... Hold on, it's a little staticky. 1 second. It's a little staticky. Hold on.
Hello?
Yeah, it's a little staticky. Can you put the mute button on? Thank you. kol nicha she'ino. So Rashi, the second line, it says, somech alav mamish. Anyone who doesn't rely on the nichush completely, Keliezer Evet Avraham, Shim Tishkini Adaberba, Vim Lav Lo Adaberba. So when Eliezer set up his whole plan for to meet Rivka, he said, if she gives me water and my camel's water, then I'll speak to her. And if not, I won't speak to her. So anybody who relies on it and makes a decision or acts on nichush is considered menachish. But if you don't rely on it to make it, and you don't make a decision based on it, so then it's not nichush. Uchiyonasan ben Shaul im yomru elenu alu ve'alinu, or like Yonasan ben Shaul, who said if they tell us, then we'll go up. So they were relying on the signs, and that's when superstition is an iser deraisa. When is it an iser deraisa? When it's like Eliezer or like Yonasan, which means that it's not just saying today is a good day because the ferry was on time, but you have to rely on it. You have to make a decision based on it. And we see from Eliezer and Yonasan that their nichush, their superstition was that they acted based on these signs. They didn't just say, oh, today's a good day, but they acted. But the question before was, why wouldn't he eat from the meat based on this? So the Marshal, look in source number 9, just to skip down to the source number 9. He says, V'hama Rav kol nichush, yesh l'datik heich boi l'memar derav avar alav de nichush. So how could you say that Rav was over? What's the Havamina? That he would violate Nichush? V'yesh lomar, d'lamai d'boi l'meimar nami hashta be'omer tzad echad mikre Nichush. So hainu b'somech al zeh. So according to side, one side holds that if you only say, if this happens, I'll do this, that's Nichush. So if you rely on it, hold on, it's very... Can you guys hear the static in the background, or is it just me? Can somebody just respond?
Yes, I hear it.
Okay, so just put your... I don't know if it's the mute buttons or it's just a bad line, but we'll just keep going. Okay, so the Marsha says that there's different opinions as to what Nichush is. Some sides say that if you say one thing, if this happens, I'll do this. So that's still Nichush, but it's only Nichush if you rely on it. So, Aval Rav came unto lo achal v'lo niskayim machshavto sh'amar yomatavo lanu ein ka Nichush. So Rav, who didn't eat from the meat, because if he ate from the meat, he'd be relying on the idea that today's a lucky day or a good day. That's why he didn't eat from the meat. But had he eaten from the meat, it would have been nichush. So that's one opinion. Uparech, but you can ask, degam imaya ochel sham lav nichushava. Even if he did eat it, it wouldn't be nichush. Kevin delo amar tzadasheni keliezer, because he didn't structure the superstition like Eliezer. He didn't say, if this happens, then this, and if doesn't happen, then this. Rather, he just said, today's a good day. So even if he had eaten the meat, then that would not be nichush. So the Gemara says that, just to summarize the Marsha is saying, when is it not nichush and when is it nichush? When is it superstition? It's not superstition to say it's a good day today because the ferry came on time, but it would be a violation of superstition if you relied on the ferry coming on time to make a decision or to act based on it. So one side believe maintains that Rav eating the meat would have been nichush, it would have been relying on the superstition or relying on the sign that he had. And the other side in the Marsha says, no, that if he had structured his statement that if the ferry comes towards me, it's a good day, and if it doesn't come towards me, it's a bad day, and then the ferry came to him and he relied on that, only then would it be superstition. But just saying today's a good day because the ferry's on time, the subway is on time, that's not superstition, midereisa, and you're not over an iser. But we have to understand why Rav did this and what the Gemara is trying to teach us. I'm going to break this Gemara up into three parts, because there's three parts, and then we'll summarize it and put it all together. So the first part is this story. Rav went to visit his son-in-law. He said when the ferry came to him, oh, today's a great day, the ferry's on time. The Gemara has a Havamina that maybe it was nichush, it was superstition, when he said, oh, because the ferry is on time, it must be a good day. It's a good sign that it's a good day. And then the Gemara says, no, it's not nichush, because it's not like Eliezer. Because he didn't rely on it, or either it wasn't structured like Eliezer, so it's not nichush. So we have to understand what the difference is between the two. What is nichush? We'll define what nichush is, essentially, and what the difference between Rav's nichush and the nichush of Eliezer and the nichush of Yonasan. Okay? Just a side point, totally similar, it's an interesting halacha, and then we'll come back to the Gemara. A side point is that the Gemara says in the end, why didn't Rav eat from the meat? It wasn't because of the nichlesh, but it was because it's not a sudas rishus. So Rashi over there, he quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. Look in source number 8, sorry. He says, sudas rishus bas tam lechachim amaretz be'ilu over him. So he quotes Pesachim, so I just thought this is an interesting halacha, a very fascinating halacha. If you look in source number 10, the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol su'uda she'enu shel mitzvah, ein tam lechachim rishai lohanos mimena. Any suda that's not a suda of mitzvah, a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to enjoy. Kigon Mai. So what's an example of a suda that's not a suda's mitzvah? Amar Rav Yochanan, kigon bas kohen liYisrael. When the daughter of a kohen marries Yisrael, uvas Talmud Chacham la'ama aretz, or if the daughter of a wise man, a Talmud Chacham, marries an ama aretz, an imbecile, that is not a suda's mitzvah. The Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, bas kohen liYisrael. If the daughter of a kohen marries Yisrael, ein zivugan ola yafe. Their match will not be a good match. Mahi, what is it? What's going to happen? So Amar Rav Chisda, O Almana, O Grusha, O Zera Ein La. So either the woman, the Bas Kohen, will be an Almana, be widowed, or be divorced, or she won't have any children. B'masni Satana, in the brace it says, Kovra O Kovarto. She'll be buried, meaning she'll die, or her husband will die. O Mivyaso Lideanios. Or they'll come to poverty. So the Gemara is pretty harsh. It says, when a Bas Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, marries an Amaretz or Yisrael, sorry, it says Yisrael, so all these bad things are going to happen. They're not going to have a good marriage. She's going to be divorced. All these things. So the Gemara says, and that's not a Sudas Mitzvah. It's a Sudas Rishus. So at that wedding, a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to eat at that wedding. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? Va'a Amar Rav Yochanan Arotze, she's Asher, Yidbak, Bizar, Shel Aaron. If you want to become wealthy, I guess it's not actual financially wealthy, but spiritually wealthy, you should marry and stick to the offspring of Aaron, Kohanim. Kol Shekein should Torah Kahuna Ma'asharton. Even more so, Kahuna and Torah together should make a person wealthy. So Lo Kasha, the Gemara says it's not a Kasha. Haba Talmud Chacham, haba Amaretz. No, when a Bas Yisrael, a Bas Kohen marries a Talmud Chacham, even if they're Yisrael, it's a great thing. But when a Bas Kohen marries an Amaretz, it's not a Sudas Mitzvah, it's a Sudas Rishus. And you're not even, Talmud Chacham is not even supposed to partake of that. So I just thought it was an interesting halacha that we normally think of a Sudas Mitzvah as a Suda that's attached to Mitzvah, like a Bris Milah or any wedding. But it's not true. The Gemara says that if a Bas Kohen or a Bas Talmud Chacham marries an Alma Aretz, so it's actually not a Sudas Mitzvah. So that would be for a different shir, just interesting halacha. And it explains it's tied into our Gemara, because the Gemara says, why didn't Rav eat at the Suda? Apparently there was a wedding going on between Bas Talmud Chacham and an Amaretz at his son-in-law's house, and he refused to eat at that meal because it wasn't a Sudas Mitzvah. Okay, but if you didn't follow that, just forget it, because it's not important to the shir, but it's important to a different shir, maybe a future shir. So go back to the Gemara. So the first part of the Gemara is that Rav said that today is a great day because the ferry's on time, and the Gemara has a Havamina that's Nichlish, but it's not really Nichlish. So now it gets even more interesting. This Gemara is fascinating. Go back to source number 7. And we're about 5 lines down. Rav Badik Bemibara. So Rav, he would check the ferries. Rashi, source number 8, last line. Badik Mibara. Im Mizumenis lo azov, im Bakushi motza lo azov. So Rav, if the ferries were quick and on time, he would go. But if they weren't, if they were delayed, he would just turn around and go back home. So that's the first idea. Then it says, next statement, Shmuel Badik Besafra. So Shmuel would read Psukim. So he would use a Psukim, he would open up the Torah to random Pasuk, and he would read it, and whatever he would read would have an effect on him. He would utilize to make decisions. And then it says, the last thing is, where Rabbi Yochanan Badik Bianuka. Rabbi Yochanan, he would ask a child to read a random pasuk, and then he would use that information to make a decision. Look at Rashi on the top of the next page. Bianuka Shdeshayle Psukli Psukafa. So he said to a child, read me a pasuk that you're learning. And then for some reason it would have an effect on him. So the Gemara gets a story to try to highlight what exactly he was doing here. But before we do that, just there was an interesting, I gave a shir on Haman. There's a medrash on Haman where he said the same thing to a child. Psukli psukecha. Tell me a pasuk you're learning. So I was just I just made an association to that, and hopefully that'll come in handy when we give a svara or give an idea here. But the Gemara goes on and tells the story of what they would do with these psukim. So what is the story? Go back to the Gemara. It says Kulu Shnei Derav have a kasev le Rabbi Yochanan. So all the days of Rav, when he was alive, Rav Yochanan would write to him, Likadam Rabbeinu Shebabavel. He would write to him letters, asking him questions, and he would say to our rabbi, our Rebbe, our master in Bavel. Because Rav Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel. Kinach Nafshe, when Rav died, Havakas of Lishmuel, he would write to Shmuel, Likadam Chavireinu Shebabavel. So he wrote to our colleague in Bavel. So kind of a diss on Shmuel. Shmuel's not as great as Rav, and Rav Yochanan was letting Shmuel know that. So Omar, so Shmuel said, Lo yada li midi de rabbi ona? Does he not know that I'm worthy of being his rabbi? Shmuel, he was upset. Kasav shadar le ivura de shitin shnei shani. So he tried to impress Rav Yochanan, and Shmuel sent Rav Yochanan for 60 years how to calculate all the leap years in for 60 years. So he showed him his math skills. Omar, so Rav Yochanan wasn't impressed. He says, Hashta chushbona ba'alma yada. Rav Yochanan said he's just a mathematician, so why is that such a big deal? Why should he be my Rebbe? Why should I call him Rebbe? So, Kasav shadar le tleser gamli sveki trefasa. So the Gemara says, Shmuel sent him all these shilas, all these questions on suffik trefas, which is a very complicated area. 13 camels worth of letters. Not literally, but a lot of letters explaining how he would paskin in all these trefus questions. So that impressed Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, Amar isli Rav Bavavel. Now I have a new Rebbe in Bavel. It's Shmuel. Izel achsie, I'll go and see him. So Rav Yochanan planned a trip to visit Shmuel, his new Rebbe. So Amar le Lianuka, so he said to this child, Psok li psukecha, read me a pasuk. So Amar le, he said back to him, Ushmuel mes. The pasuk that he read was the pasuk of Shmuel HaNavi dying. So that was the random pasuk that this child chose to read to Rav Yochanan. Amar, so Rav Yochanan said, Shmamina nach nafshe de Shmuel velohi. So he said that it must be that Shmuel, did Shmuel die? It's not true. He didn't die. Shmuel was still alive. Lo shachiv Shmuel. Shmuel wasn't dead, meaning Shmuel and Bavel, not the Shmuel of the Navi. Ela ki hechi do litrach Rav, you know, Rav Yochanan saw this as a sign that he shouldn't travel to Bavel to visit Shmuel. So he relied on this pasuk that this child read to him, Ushmuel Meis, that it was a bad idea to travel to Bavel. So the question is, how is this okay? Why is this mutter? So again, these chazal, they're relying on these psukim, they're reading random psukim to make decisions, making decisions based on the ferry times, the subway times. And then this story, this final story with Rav Yochanan, where he asks the child to read him a pasuk, and the child says Shmuel Meis, and even though Rav Yochanan knew that Shmuel hadn't died, he saw this as some type of sign that he shouldn't go, and he didn't go. So why is this a good thing? Why is the Gemara highlighting these actions of Chazal? And it seems like this is Nichush, this is a type of superstition. So why is this okay? So that's part number two. And the last part is short. The last part of this Gemara, part number three, is also interesting. It says, Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Bayis Tinok Veisha. If a person builds a house, has a baby, or builds a house and gets married, Afal Pisha Ein Nichush Yish Siman. Even though there's no Nichush, there's a Siman, this is like the Yerushalmi. Amar V'lozer V'hudis Chazek Tlasit Zimni. As long as it occurs three times. Tichsiv Yosef Enenu V'Shimon Enenu V'Espin Yamin Tikachu. So Yaakov said that if Yosef is gone and Shimon is gone, and if Binyamin is taken, then it'll symbolize or it'll signify that I'm doomed. So again, the last question is, what's the difference between a sign and superstition? Why are signs okay? Yaakov relied on a sign as long as it's three times, but he wouldn't rely on superstition. So what exactly is that? So there's three parts of the Gemara. The first part is the story about Rav, that he said it's a good day because of the ferry, and then we see that he didn't rely. The Gemara says, was that Nichush? The Gemara says it's not Nichush. It's not like Eliezer. The second part of the story is all these chazal that did rely on signs, it seems like. They relied on psukim or a child reading you a pasuk, and somehow that was reasonable and not usur. And then the last idea is the siman idea that if three things happen to you that are good or bad, that you're allowed to rely on it, and it's not nisr, it's actually mutter. So the question is, can we try to explain all these Gemaras and try to explain and answer the questions of what is Nichush, what is not Nichush, why did these Chazal act this way, and why is this Siman okay? So those are all the questions. So I just want to try an idea, a possibility to explain the Gemara, and then hopefully with some of this information we can go back to the original sources and try to explain and give more insight. So what is Nichush? It seems like, just to define it, Nichush is where you create a correlation that's not real. For example, if I say, oh, I see a black cat, that means it's a bad sign. There's no real correlation, there's no reality or causation between the black cat passing by you and you having a bad day. You know, if you lose a lot of money and you're upset, so that is a bad day, but there's no correlation, there's no natural relationship between seeing a deer or seeing a black cat or that this day is a good day. Those aren't true. There's no reality to that. And you're creating a correlation in your mind between something that has no significance, no power, and you're giving it power. You're making it real. You're giving it almost a reality in your mind that this correlation exists and this has certain power. And of course, we know that the only power is the power of Hashem. There's no power outside of Hashem. But these correlations are false. They're not real, but you're giving them reality. You're saying, oh, that there is some reality to the fact that today's a good day. There is some reality to the fact that this deer is in front of me. Even though there isn't a connection, you're creating the connection. And then not only are you creating a connection, but you're making it real. You're saying this connection is a real connection and there's a power here. There's some significance to it. So the Gemara is teaching us, the first part of the Gemara is saying that really, what's the difference between Rav and what Nichush is ultimately? So the difference is that the Gemara's Havamina is that when you verbalize something, that is giving something reality. And we see this by different halachos, by vidui. For example, when a person does tshuva, you have to verbalize your confession. Or by neder, when you make a neder, you have to verbalize it. Why? Because when you verbalize something, it makes it real to you. So the Havamina, whereas when it's still in your mind, when you're thinking something, oh, today's a good day, but you're thinking it, it's not real because you could take it back. Your mind gets distorted. It's not as real to you. It's not as concrete. But when you verbalize, it concretizes. So the Gemara's Havamina is that Nichush, it was Nichush by Rav. Just saying, today's a good day because the ferry's on time would be Nichush. Just giving this correlation, this false correlation, any reality, any concretization would be Nichush. And the Gemara says, no, that's not Nichush. Nichush is only when you rely on it, meaning it's not enough to just verbalize. Verbalization is a concretization, but there's a greater framework of making something real, and that's relying on it to make decisions. And when you rely on it to make decisions, that's when you're ascribing a reality to something that's not true, that's not there. So the Havamina was verbalization is concretization. And since verbalization is making something concrete to you, that alone is Nichush. And the Gemara is saying, no, it's not enough to just say something, but it has to be like Eliezer. It has to be something that you rely on. When you rely on it, you're giving this correlation reality. You're giving it truth, and you're saying this is real. Even though it's not, and it's not real, and the Torah doesn't recognize this correlation as being meaningful. So the first part of the Gemara is showing you what is Nichush. It's not just verbalizing a correlation in your mind, oh, today's a good day, but it's not just verbalizing it, but it's actually ascribing it truth, ascribing it reality, and the way to do that is by relying on it, by making a decision based on it, and that's what we see from Eliezer, that Eliezer said, oh, if a woman comes to me and provides my camels with water, then that means that they're destined for Yitzchak, and if not, then they're not. So he's relying on this sign to make a decision. And by relying on the sign to make a decision, that's really ascribing some meaning to something that's not real. But the other cases are really... But with Rav, he just verbalized something that he thought in his mind. Oh, a person naturally makes a relationship between the subway's on time, it must be good for me. That's a natural correlation that a person makes. And to verbalize it is not necessarily giving it reality, giving it truth, making it something that's there when it's not really there. It's only when you rely on it. So that's the difference between Nichush and that's not Nichush and that it, what is Nichush. But obviously the question, that doesn't answer all the questions, but what are they doing? What is Rav Yochanan doing? What is what are Rav doing, Shmuel, when they use Psukim or they rely on these things? So what's the difference between a sign and a Nichush? So those are all the questions.
So nichosh, we said, is where there's a correlation, and you give reality to that correlation when it's not there in truth. So there's no truth to the fact that a day is a good day, that there's a lucky day. That doesn't exist and the Torah doesn't recognize that as true. So what were they doing with the psukim? So I want to try, I guess, a rationalist approach to this Gemara, because it doesn't make sense to me the other way. And I want to say that maybe the concept is that sometimes when you are involved in something and engaged in something, it's good to take yourself out of it and to think whether it's worth it or not, whether it's worth it for me to do it or to act on it. Am I acting out of an eagerness, or am I acting and making a decision based on, you know, what is correct for me, what is right for me? And learning psukim and thinking about psukim can take a person out of a certain emotional framework, a sense of eagerness, and you can reevaluate. Learning itself is a process of analyzing, of using your mind in a certain way. And when you engage in that, you can start thinking about the value of doing something in a more analytical manner. So I think that's the idea of all these cases of Rav. He would see if the ferry was on time, he would go. If it wasn't on time, he wouldn't go. It's not because he thought it was a bad sign. I think it's once the ferry wasn't on time, so he would reevaluate whether he really wanted to go or not. And maybe his eagerness to go wasn't necessarily a reason to go. Or the idea, the story of Rav Yochanan, that he didn't want to visit Shmuel. So the idea was that he was eager to visit Shmuel, but when he heard the pasuk from the child, so he decided not to go. Why? It's not because the pasuk was a bad sign. I think it's because once he learned the pasuk, he heard the pasuk, he was able to think about it clearly, and he said to himself, oh, it's not something that I really need to do. It's not really something that will benefit me. It's not worth the energy or the effort at this point. Maybe I'll go a different time. So the idea of using psukim, or, you know, Rav with the ferry, is the concept that a person should use situations to reevaluate whether they're making the right decision or not. So it's one thing to rely on a sign and to say, oh, if this happens, then I'm going to rely on it. That would be nichosh. But it's another thing to use something, or to use an experience, or to use Torah for a person to sharpen their mind and be able to reevaluate the situation. And I think that's why Rav Yochanan used a child. And I think we said this by Haman. So a child doesn't really have as many biases and as many, he's not as judgmental as a person. He doesn't have as many associations. So he wanted an independent viewpoint, perspective. So that's why he asked the child for a pasuk. He didn't want to look for the pasuk himself, because then there would be some bias there. He would look for a pasuk that would indicate that he should go. He was asking a child. He wanted a child because he wanted someone outside of himself to give him this information so that now he could kind of take himself out of the situation and reevaluate. So the second part of the Gemara is teaching us that a person can rely on pasuk, can rely on these signs, but not because they're bad omens or good omens. But I think the Gemara is saying it's to allow a person to reevaluate the situation. Is it worth it for me to go? Should I really go, or should I just stay home? And you can use these things to try to think about in detail or in depth why you're making this decision, why you're going, why you're not going. And the last idea is this siman thing, where you have three things in a row. So what is that idea? If a person builds a house, gets married, or builds a house and has a child, and he's successful, then there's some siman there that he'll be successful in the future, and vice versa. So I think the idea is, and also in the negative, so I think the idea there is that when something happens three times in a row, there's an indication that it's not necessarily external, but it's internal, that there's some part of you that's creating the success. And you might not be able to identify it, but maybe it's confidence, or maybe it's your inner confidence, or maybe it's something that you're doing wrong, like by Yaakov, that he couldn't sense, or he couldn't really put his finger on. So when something happens three times, the Torah is saying that you're allowed to rely on that. What does that mean? It means that perhaps in those situations where it's a pattern, you could say that there's something internal causing it. There's something that you're not sensing, that you don't sense about yourself, that's creating the situation. Like if you're successful in the first business venture, after these things happen, you build a house and you're successful, and you get married and you're successful, and then you're successful in business. So then a person can rely on that as a siman. What does that mean? It means that a person can sense that there's some part of him that's causing this success, and therefore he can feel confident, he can feel good about that, and not that he's definitely going to be successful in the next business deal, but it means that it should have an effect on you. And you should think, oh, if I'm successful all these times, there must be some part of me that's causing this success. It's not something, it's not some crazy correlation, but there's a part of me that's causing it. And if something bad happens to you over and over again, maybe you're not thinking, maybe there's something going on that you're not really in tune to. Maybe you're making mistakes. You're not as careful as you thought you were. So these are all situations that a person is allowed to rely on. It's mutter to rely on. So I just wanted to explain that Gemara. So I think the Gemara is teaching us three different concepts. One is, what is Nichlish? Nichlish is where a person creates a correlation that doesn't really exist, like black cat or a deer or a lucky day. And it's not just enough to verbalize it. That's what the Gemara is teaching us in the first point. But you have to rely on it. Relying on it really ascribes a certain truth to this correlation. The second idea is using the psukim of saying this pasuk is good, is a good sign. It's not that it's a good sign, but when you learn Torah, when you think about a pasuk, or even by the ferry case by Rav, when something's delayed, you can think about whether or not it's worth it for you, whether it's valuable for you to continue on the path, or whether it's better for you to stay home. And then the last idea is that when something happens three times, when there's a pattern, there could be an internal cause, and a person should look. They might not be able to sense it, but that's the idea of a siman, where there's something internal causing it. Like, I'm successful. The reason why I'm successful isn't because of some external force that I don't control, but it might be because I'm confident. It might be because I'm smart. It might be because, you know, all these things, all these different possibilities. So you can rely on that. And that's the idea of siman. The idea of a siman is that when you see three things, a pattern, so that you're successful at, or you see a pattern that you're not successful, you fail at, it's time to, you can rely on it, meaning that there must be, you can think, there must be a part of me, there must be something that's causing it that's internal, not just external, and that's a reality, that's true. All right, so I don't really want to go further, but there's a Rambam in source number 11, so if you have time, you know, read that Rambam, then the Rambam, there's a question on the Rambam, which maybe we'll take about a different shir, because we're running out of time, but the Rambam holds that simanim is asur. And the question is, how does the Rambam learn like that when the Gemara says, and the Ravid asks this, when the Gemara says that simanim are really mutter? So if you read that Rambam, maybe you'll come up with an idea to differentiate and try to explain how the Rambam learns the Gemara. So back to the first sources, and then we'll summarize. The first sources, the question was, so what's the connection between lo sochlu al adam and lo sanachashu and lo sonenu? So it's the same idea, a person who eats blood, or a lot of times people associate blood with power. Ki nefesh, it's because it's the lifeblood. So you create a correlation between blood and power. And that correlation isn't real. It's just blood is a liquid that happens to be necessary for life, but it's not the life force of man. So just like a person creates a correlation between certain animals and bad things, or certain days and good things and bad things, so too a person creates this correlation with blood. A person thinks that blood has power. Blood will make me stronger. But the reality is that it's not true. There's no causation, there's no correlation that's proven or that can be seen or judged through science or through experimentation. It's just a correlation in your mind, and you're relying on it, and you're making a decision based on it. So that's why the Torah uses or puts all these three together. Lo sochlu adam, lo sanachashu, v'lo sonenu, they're all kind of similar. Lo sochlu adam is that a person naturally correlates dam with the life force of man, and that's why they think that they should eat it. It's a benefit. And lo sanachashu is a correlation to animals or events. And lo sonenu is daytime, is shaos. All these are where the mind associates, creates associations, but those associations are just a byproduct of man's mind. They don't really exist in the world. Okay, so just to summarize, the shir tonight was on the difference between superstition and signs. And the Torah teaches us in this week's parsha that you're not allowed to be superstitious. So we said, you know, what is, and then the Torah Tumim quoted to a Gemara in Yerushalmi. One Gemara says that you're not allowed to be superstitious. You can't rely on signs like animals and the bread falls out of my mouth. You can't rely on lucky days. But then another Gemara, Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi says that Siman is okay. You can have signs. You can rely on signs as long as it's three times. Like by Yaakov with Rachel, Yosef, and Shimon, he was allowed to, or he relied on it and he didn't send Binyamin. So the question is, what's the difference between the two? So we saw this Gemara in Chulin, and the Gemara had three parts. The first part was teaching us what Nichush is. As I said before, Nichush is the concretization of a correlation that your mind makes. This must mean this, this must mean that, when there's nothing in reality to corroborate your association. And it's not enough to just verbalize. You have to rely on it. You have to act based on it. Because when you act based on it, you're giving it a certain sense of meaningfulness and truth. The second idea was that Chazal sometimes relied on psukim and different signs to make decisions. But I believe that the Gemara is teaching us that when a person's emotionally engaged in something, it's good to take yourself out of it and to analyze the situation. And learning psukim or thinking about psukim will give a person the ability to see a decision with more insight and analysis. And the last idea is this idea of siman, where if three things happen to you, good or bad, then you're allowed to rely on it. You can make some decisions based on it. And what I was trying to say is that when something happens to you over and over again, it's a sign that, not that you're doomed, but it's a sign that there's something that you're doing that you might not sense that might be causing this. Like, A, if you're successful, it might be a part of your personality that's causing your success. And if you're failing, if something bad happens to you, it might be that you're not careful, or it might be that you're really not a careful person, and you have to really work on that before you can act. So that's what the Gemara is teaching us. All right? So the shiur is over tonight. Any questions? All right. Have a good Shabbos. Thank you.